Hello and welcome to the very first Purple Comedy of 2011. Later on in the show, we'll be having Anna, who I met on the Adventures of Stephen Fry website, and Anna will be talking to us about her lovely lesbian handbook. But first, I thought I'd have a little talk to you about the new year, about what it brings, and all the changes, you know. In some ways, though, the new year doesn't bring any changes. Nothing changes, really. Things like class don't change, I don't think. Take my wife, you know. I mean, she married beneath her. I'm the first to admit she married me, you know. And her parents, they never liked me. When we were newly married, they used to introduce me as her first husband. But, to be fair, there was an incident which I think perhaps, you know, made that a justifiable comment, really. They'd gone off to the opera with their daughter, my intended, as they say. They did invite me. Well, sort of they invited me. They said, you'll not want to come, will you? And they were quite right, I didn't want to go. But then they went to the opera, obviously. I thought, well, good opportunity to go to the pub. So I went to the pub, had a few pints, and on the way back, past the curry shop, well, you know, you can't resist, can you, that time of night. And when I got back to their house, I was just walking up the drive, and the handles of the old curry bag for the takeaway burst, and the curry fell out all over the bloody driveway. There it was on the tarmac, you know, but it was still in the containers, and I'd had a few, and it was a bit peckish, so I thought, well, most of it's all right. So I bent down, and I began to eat it out of the containers. Now, unfortunately, as luck would have it, it was at that moment that my in-laws and their daughter returned from the opera and swung into the driveway of their house. Now, I do appreciate this is probably fairly traumatic for them, because as the lights of their Volvo swung across the drive, they focused upon my good self, the man that their daughter was to marry, the man who was to squirt his genes into their precious child, the little girl they nurtured from babyhood to womanhood, delighted at her first steps, the man whose ability to provide for her and nurture her, their daughter's future happiness depended upon. And there, as the lights focused upon me, was I, crouched like some feral animal, apparently eating my own vomit from the driveway. Now then, I think we'd better introduce Anna onto the show. But before we do that, there's this.
When I reached the age of 100 years, the Queen sent me a telegram. It said, congratulations. When I reach the age of 110 years, she sent me another telegram. It said, are you still there? Bitch.
You're listening to Purple Comedy.
Well, we've an exciting new moment on Purple Comedy now. I met Anna in the virtual world. Isn't that right, Anna?
That's right, yes, in the world, the online.
The online universe.
Yes.
In fact, I have it on very good authority that she's actually digital. But there you go.
I am a robot, I must admit.
That's right. But now, we actually met on Stephen Fry, the website, The Adventures of Stephen Fry, didn't we?
We did. Very good site. Very good.
It is, yeah. I kind of go on there because I think, well, if I like Stephen Fry and other people like Stephen Fry, then we must at least have something in common, you know?
Absolutely, yeah. Yes.
But what attracted me to I shouldn't say attracted, that's the wrong use of the term. What drew me, I suppose, to Anna was her little submission, which was
the lesbian handbook. There goes my phone. Sorry about that.
Exciting that this program is. Anything can happen, even the phone can ring.
The phone can even ring, yeah.
So the lesbian handbook, what drew you to write that then?
Well, I'm a lesbian as well. and I guess it's just kind of like navigating the perils of the lesbian landscape as It helps to try and have a bit of a sense of humour about the sort of stumbles that I've had along the way. And
you seem to have had a lot of stumbles, if you don't mind me saying. Don't read in this. In fact, I'm surprised you spent any time vertical at all, really.
I know.
But it says you cover things like the perils of public toilets. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, I have that. I used to dress quite androgynously when I was younger, and I just encountered a little bit of sort of prejudice from other people. And I guess you can either laugh or cry about these things.
So you've obviously, I think it's a much needed book, this, because you've got, when you talk about the encountering other women in public toilets who are afraid of your butchness, I presume that's what it is. And you've got the steely glare. And how do you deal with that? Was it steely glare?
What was my steely glare? Good grief, I can't remember how you said it.
Well, in your little book, you said you stared back.
Oh, that was stared back to that one. And to the shrieking doodle bug, I think I wrapped the head in toilet paper.
yeah, I can imagine. I think, actually, to be quite frank, if you did carry on like that, I think women would have every justification in feeling a bit nervous of encountering a lesbian. Last time I encountered a lesbian, I was wrapped in toilet paper.
Mummified by them, yeah, that would be.
But what's also fascinating is shopping at IKEA.
Yes, I don't want to generalise, but I think it is a great lesbian love of kitchen utensils.
Is that right?
Yes. Well, I certainly love them. I've got no excuse to love them. Can't cook, but
you can't cook. Which particular sort of utensils are you very fond of then?
Coffee machines and
blenders. God, everyone likes coffee machines. But
blenders and also things you can sieve things with and chop things with and anything you can dice with.
Oh yeah, dicing, that's perfect, isn't
it? Minimum amount.
It's a good way of getting rid of your aggression, dicing. I particularly like ladles myself.
Ladles are good, and the spoons with the gaps in, I don't know what you call them.
Oh, that's called a runcible spoon.
A runcible spoon.
Yeah, you know the pussycat and the owl, and they went away and under the full moon, and they took with them a mince or something, and a runcible spoon. I wondered for years what the hell a runcible spoon was, and I discovered it's a spoon with holes in.
Grief, I've learned something.
I know, it's fascinating, isn't it? Education on the programme as well. So yeah. So cruising. So is that where you go cruising then, IKEA?
Yes, I guess it is a good cruising spot with all the memory foam mattresses and everything. And not that I'm very good at cruising. I tried bars, but I didn't have much success
there. Well, I remember you said that you went on the gay scene, and somebody, I think, tried to unscrew one of your nipples. Is that correct?
That's correct. Yes, yeah, she leapt on me and sort of shoved her tongue down my throat and tried to. As far as I could tell, she was trying to twist my nipples off.
And do your nipples come off, as a matter of interest?
No, they're not detachable.
Not detachable, okay. Bits of me fall off all the time, actually. Marvellous stuff. And what also you cover here is men, it's acceptable for lesbians to fancy?
That's a key.
Is it?
Sort of, element of the guide. Stephen Fry, obviously.
Well, obviously, Stephen Fry is. Unfortunately, that's really tricky because he's gay, isn't he?
Yes. Well, the thing is that I think that I have this sort of theory that gay men and gay women, when the chemistry's right, they can cancel each other out, so they become, in effect, heterosexual.
That's wonderful. Yeah. So you've got like a double negative there, really.
Yeah, it's kind of like magnets. Yeah.
Yeah. So instead of repelling each other, they actually attract each other and become. Sort of heterosexual instantly.
Yes, I think that would work. That
in some really weird sort of reverse universe. It's like a parallel universe, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
Where you can cross over. And you've got Alan Rickman.
Alan Rickman, very, yeah. Like, and, you know, I thought it was just me before. Uh-huh. Because when I was going through my adolescence, I had a crush on Alan Rickman, Michael Palin, Stephen Fry. And then I met other gay women who said they'd had exactly the same crushes, which was...
It's interesting. I mean, Alan Rickman, there is something slightly, a bit of the night of him, really, isn't there?
Vampiric, sort of.
Yeah. I think you said something about vampires in the book, didn't you?
Oh, yes. Well, a lot of people do believe lesbians to be vampires. It's a myth perpetuated by the Hammer horror movie that...
I see. Is that where that comes from?
They all take inexplicable baths together. together, you know, and they leap into water together, and you know, lots of women.
Oh right, I remember those films. I don't think that had much to do with lesbianism, though.
Well, no, they
were. I have to say they were very enjoyable, though. So no one's tried to drive a stake through your heart yet, though, then.
No, not yet, unfortunately. No.
Just the nipple twister.
Just the twisting of the nipples, yeah.
Now, you've also got down here on your list of men who's acceptable to fancy, Philip Glenister, is it? Glenister?
Glenister, yeah. That's a bit of a strange one.
It is a bit of a strange one, because he plays the DCI Gene Hunt, I think.
He does in Life on Mars and Ashes to Ashes. And I think that he is, on the other hand, is so much of a man that he attracts even lesbians. It's some kind of heterosexual controversy to create a character that is so male.
He is very male. You know, he's got a face a bit long, looks like a bit like a deflated football, I think, is probably the
Do
best.
You think? Oh, my goodness.
Sorry, I realise I'm talking about the person you love here. I'm terribly sorry about that. But I've got a theory. Maybe he kind of gives off testosterone.
I think it's so much testosterone that it comes through the television.
That's right. And it actually... Possibly lesbians are like sort of they're more sensitive to it, and what happens is because there's so much testosterone in the atmosphere, you actually turn into the equivalent of a gay man.
That's probably what it is.
I think that's probably what it is.
Yeah, and also the car as well. I think lesbians want to drive the car when wear the driving gloves.
We're back to the leather now, aren't we?
The Audi Quattro.
The old Audi Quattro, yeah. And you've also got something about dancing.
Dancing. I've attempted dancing in the past, and it's not gone very well.
Can lesbians not dance, then?
I can't dance. I don't know about other lesbians. Other lesbians I've seen can't dance. There's some I've seen that actually can, but I find it particularly difficult. But I'd give it a go, you know, and I've got some rules there.
Have you? What are your rules, then?
For the dancing, there's... the remaining entirely still in the torso area is
that's very important.
Absolutely,
yeah.
Essential, and the arms straight outwards and moving.
This is the crucifixion dance, is it?
This is the crucifixion kind of crucifixion dance. Yeah, I think if you crucify yourself, then no one, you know.
I see. Yeah, well, I'm actually there's a court order out that prevents me from dancing.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, I'm a dad, you see.
Right.
So my daughter, I actually signed a piece of paper that if my daughter sees me dancing, she is actually legally empowered to shoot me.
She wrote up a document, did she?
Yeah. And to be quite honest, if I was found dancing, I'd thank her for it. John Travolta doesn't even come near it, you know. I wondered about this. Do you think that lesbians are particularly attracted to tweed as well?
Tweed.
There does seem to be an affinity, doesn't there?
There is, actually, I think. I do have a tweed jacket, you know.
You do?
Yeah.
This is I'm actually psychic, you know.
There's things you never think about.
There's things I think about you shouldn't think about. But
yes, but tweed as well. Tweed and baseball caps.
Baseball caps, that's right. Flat hats, baseball caps. Mm-hmm. Another one I've noticed is short denim jackets. Formerly worn by skinheads in the 70s.
Yes, and baggy jeans along with tight vest tops.
That's it, you've described. There's just about every stereotype we can think of for gay women, isn't that great?
You shouldn't be afraid of them, though, because people do live up to them. You know, I'm not
everyone. They do. Some people are very... Well, that's why they're stereotypes, isn't it? They're there, you know?
Yeah.
But very handy to have a stereotype, because then you know what to wear.
Exactly, yeah. You don't have to make the effort.
Exactly. And you've also put something about it. A lesbian actually a fond, I should say, or feel the need to have animals around them. Is that something else that lesbians are interested in?
Great, great instinct to take care of vulnerable animals. This is true. Like injured pigeons, baby birds that have lost their mothers, lizards that have escaped.
Do you get many lizards in your area then? Where is it you come from?
Hartlepool.
Okay.
Yeah, the place where they hung the monkey.
Place where they hung the monkey. I've heard about that. Yeah, they hung the monkey. I'll have to tell that as another Purple Comedy story. But they hung the monkey thinking it was a Frenchman. Is that not right?
We thought he was a Frenchman. He washed up on the shore, apparently, and
This wasn't last week, I hasten to add. This was...
this was during the Napoleonic Wars.
This was Judd. That's exactly right. Good God.
He was dressed, but he was, to be fair, he was dressed in uniform.
I didn't realise that. I see. So when he washed up on the shore, he was actually dressed as a French sailor.
Yes, and he thought he was... Having never seen a Frenchman before, we naturally assumed that this was a Frenchman.
You see, I always thought what an absurd thing to do, but now you've explained it, it seems very reasonable to me.
Sense that he was wearing clothes. Of course.
He was wearing clothes. They'd never seen a Frenchman, and obviously he spoke a foreign language.
Startling open-mindedness, we assumed.
Assumed he was a French. Fair enough.
Immediately hung him.
And immediately hungry. Yes, that's fair enough.
But there's a song that we even learnt in school when I was at primary school about.
Go on then.
No,
let's have it.
I'm not going to sing because I can't sing, but it was something like, it happened in old Hartlepool in the time of war with France. The Emperor Napoleon was leading us a dance. Or something. That's how it starts, but I can't remember the rest of it.
That's pretty good. I'll find the rest of that for Purple Comedy. I can't sing either, but they've no control of it. My listeners know this, but they still come on, you know? And I think there's a real need for the lesbian handbook, you know.
I think it's more handbooks. We need as many handbooks as possible. I mean, it's difficult enough to get through life without them, but...
Absolutely, a necessity. I think you should, never mind helping people, you get a good laugh out of it and you might make some money. That's what you
know. Yeah, that's what it's all about.
That's what it's all about, good God. Never mind the philanthropy, you know. That sounds pretty good. I think it's a serious. When I got to the end of this thing, you'd actually written, the lesbian handbook. And there was a website, which is a fake website, I have to say. I know because I visited it.
Yes, I had to think of something that wouldn't be a real website because I had to think of a web address that wasn't real in case it accidentally took someone to someone's website.
You should. There should be a website, though. You should. The lesbian handbook website. That's something you should start. I definitely think so.
That would be good.
And this is the first thing that creative thing that I've managed to do that actually come off the Stephen Fry, the Adventures of Stephen Fry website. So I think it's been really fun. So I definitely think you should start the lesbian handbook, even if you start as a website and people can add things to it.
Yes, that's not half a bad idea, that. Yeah.
No, I shouldn't have said that. I should have painted that. I should have done it myself, fool. Anyway, never mind. Well, Anna, I certainly hope that we'll meet again in the virtual world.
Me too, yeah.
Thanks for coming on Purple Comedy. It's been very entertaining, and I do hope you've enjoyed it.
Thank you for having me. Yes, I've enjoyed it very much, yeah.
Okay, well, that's Anna with her book, The Lesbian Handbook. She's got to write it now because I've said it's a book. And you can see what Anna wrote. I'll put a link on the Purple website and you can go along and read Anna's Lesbian Handbook. Thanks very much, Anna.
Thanks very much, John. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
What colour is it?
It's purple, sir.
Purple?
Yes, sir.
And it's comedy, you say?
Yes, sir.
Purple comedy?
Yes, sir.
Good God!
Well, thanks to Anna for that. And, wouldn't it be marvellous if the bit about unscrewing a nipple was true and you actually could, disassemble lesbians? Because then what you could do, these magazines you get... that they come with like bits of model cars and you can assemble them over the weeks. Well, you could have a magazine like that for lesbians. And over the weeks, you could assemble your very own lesbian. Hey, that's a lovely lesbian you've got over there. I know. I made it myself, you know. Did you? Ooh, look at the finish on that. Of course, what would be even better would be if you could have two. I won't go there. Now then, we're almost through our little show. But before we end, there's this.
Hey, sir, you advertise for the motivational trainer to help you have the willpower to lose weight, I understand?
Yes.
Well, I, sir, am here to do that for you. You will note my perfect physique, my muscular forearms, and incredibly powerful chest.
Oh, yes, very nice.
Now then, here comes the motivational bit, sir.
All right.
I shall return to see you in a month's time. And if you haven't lost a stone, I shall beat the living fucking daylights out of you.
Oh.
There's your motivation, mate. That'll be £75.
Well, before I go, I'd just like to announce some exciting news. There's a new comedy club starting up in Inverness. The inaugural event will be on the 28th of January at I presume about 8 o'clock. It's called the Standout Stand-Up Club, which will be at the Inverness bar called... And I'm going to get... No, I can't pronounce this, so I'm just going to say it phonetically, okay? It's Ceolmore. C-E-O-L-M-O-R. Now, there'll be some very good friends of mine performing on there that night. There'll be Kia McAllister, really good comedian, and also the incredibly funny Graham Mackey. So, you know, really good night there. Do get along and support the club. I really hope it goes really well, and I might even stagger in there myself. Who knows? So thanks very much again to Anna for coming on the show. I do hope you've enjoyed her manual for lesbians. I have discovered, actually, that there is already a website called The Lesbian's Handbook. So there you go. Obviously a great idea. But I do hope you've enjoyed our little episode of Purple, and we'll come along and listen to us again. Thanks very much. Bye-bye.